Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Alrighty, y'all. My name is Alexis Jade, and this is my song, Goodbye Tenderly.
This ain't the first time these boots have twirled around the living room with the weight of a girl so deep in. Is a form with the passage of time. Cling to a dream. Both know it's done. Here in this moment, I am stuck in forever with you. As you smoke. Here in this
Perfect. Or trim in.
Change it up just a little
bit. Sweet. I'll move this too so I can get closer. And we'll stay right there. There we go. Awesome.
All right, well, how are you doing?
Great. It's hot down here.
Yeah.
It's hot in Memphis, though, too. But it's I think it's stickier down here.
It's not that far away, what, maybe 2.5 hours?
Yeah, about around.
But there is just something about Mississippi that just makes it feel hotter.
I think it is. You go out of state line and you feel heavier.
Yeah. The humidity sets
It's rough. But it's beautiful down here. The architecture, all these little houses in this little area are so cute.
Historic Columbus, Antebellum Homes.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very cool town. Mm-hmm. Decoration Day, Jason Isbell wrote a song about it.
Really?
Memorial Day and Decoration Day started here.
Huh.
So this was a nurse town during the Civil War.
Really?
The W, the Mississippi University for Women.
I saw that on the way in.
It was a nursing school.
Oh.
And so this was known as the Friendly City because all the nurses were taking care of the Confederate and Union soldiers.
Oh, wow.
And then when they were buried, Confederate and Union buried here, our women started Memorial and Decoration Day because they would decorate the Confederate and Union soldier graves.
That you learn something new every day. I never heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Huh.
Cool little things like that.
That is.
Have you ever
heard
the song Decoration Day by Jason Isbell?
You know, I don't know if I have.
Check it out. Like, now that you know that, it might
That'd be totally different. Yeah, and I love Jason Isbell too.
Yeah,
so. I'll have to definitely check that out. Cool.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I'm from a little town called Rosemark, Tennessee. It's in northern Shelby County. It's about 30 minutes north of the actual city limits of Memphis, or like downtown Memphis. Grew up there, lived there pretty much my whole life. And been singing since I was a kid. Started playing guitar about 4 years ago. Got a band together about 2 years ago. And then started hitting the road and playing music. So now that's what I do full time. I waited tables and worked at a doctor's office. Did construction. Did a bunch of different jobs. And finally I was like, I'm going to quit it all. I'm going to go all into music. And here I am.
What made you want to just try your stake at music?
I think that I've enjoyed all the jobs that I've done, and I think that you get writing material out of it and life experience, and you grow doing different things. But I always was wanting to play music. If I was sitting there and I worked in the kitchen, even at this restaurant I ended up waiting tables at, and I'd be thinking about playing my guitar or writing a song or being on stage while I'm making somebody's BLT. You know, I was like, okay, well, obviously this is, you know, getting to me to the point where I couldn't ignore it. And then I realized, went to school for music too. I went to University of Memphis, did music business and vocal performance. And that's when I learned that you can actually do music as a career. Cause like growing up in the middle of nowhere, even though I was outside of Memphis, we didn't go downtown much when I was younger.
Sure.
So I'm still discovering a lot of things there. But one of the big things was realizing you can make money doing that. Like I had friends that were musicians. There's plenty of people that are, you know, making a living wage playing in bars and making, you know, songs for other people and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So when I was younger, I was thought you had to be like on tour or be on the Grammys or be on Billboard to make money being a musician.
There
was
like
a, you know, but you don't, there's a lot of people and I feel stupid saying it now because I'm like, you know, 24 and understanding, okay, yes, there's a definite gap between those two. But I realized I could pay my bills doing it and I enjoyed it. It's hard. Yeah. Just like anything else is, but mm-hmm. I think, you know, they say when you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And that's kind of how I feel.
Has it felt like work yet to you?
Has it felt like work? I think not the actual playing. That never feels like work. But the booking and the when you don't have a team, like independent artists can all tell you this and relate. You wear so many hats. You're booking, mm-hmm. you're managing, you're dealing with your funds, your income, your marketing, making posters, and having to write and create and perform. So that part, kind of juggling and time management, is work, but the actual creative process doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
To me, anyways.
Yeah, I get that. I was going to ask you about, you said something earlier with success,
mm-hmm.
staking it out. I have friends of mine in Birmingham. They made a t-shirt about it because it's true. The raceway.
Uh-huh.
And he is able to support his wife and his child by playing his little raceway, his little track
yeah.
in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And that's how the bills get paid.
Right.
And so success, like what you were alluding mm-hmm. to, I believe is, yeah, I think grandiose. I came from a small town too. Mm-hmm. Like, and you only know what other people have done from there.
Exactly.
And so when you think making it in music, I mean, obviously you're thinking of the superstars.
Yeah, like Chris Stapleton. Sure. You know, like that's yeah. what I need to do.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, like there are the local people, like the local champions who are absolutely. Able to stake it out just doing that. Mm-hmm. Like your success is...
Yes.
It's there's levels to it.
There are. And I think that was what was so crazy to me was like I said, realizing and I kind of took... I had a lot of friends that went straight into it as soon as I got out of high school. I almost didn't go to college. I was like, I want to be a musician. I was like, well, I'm going to end up going to college and getting my plan B. You know, that's what am I going to do if this doesn't work out? And
so then you started playing guitar at 20?
Yes.
So out of high school, was it just voice?
Yeah. So sang. My mom put me in like not vocal lessons necessarily, but there were like Mommy and Me singing classes and everything like that. So we would do those. And then she got me into like show choirs and stuff until I was in middle school. And then I did my first talent show and I sang to a track and I had other people play for me because I couldn't play an instrument.
Yeah.
So
out of high school, you was going to do music.
Yeah. I was going to figure it out. Yeah. Well, that was the main thing too. I remember my vocal coach who actually she cut some records in Nashville and she's a great vocal coach. One of the main reasons I'm doing what I'm doing, because she was the first person to tell me that people can do it for a living. She said, you need to learn how to play an instrument because you're going to have to, any of those checks that they write you, you're going to have to split them in half if you have somebody else with you. And I was like, all right, yeah, I want to be making the full check, so I need to figure out how to do something. Mm-hmm. So it actually kind of happened perfectly. I was dating a guy and we would play together, and he kind of taught me on his guitar, and then COVID happened. So we had, you know, a year of nothing stuck in the house. So I went to Guitar Center, and after I exhausted all my Netflix options and streaming all the new movies that had come out, I was like, I want to sit down and play this guitar. So by the time that we got out of lockdown and could start playing gigs again, I could accompany myself and get through a 3-hour gig. So I started booking them and just filling out my schedule.
There's a milestone right there.
It was
and
great.
And they hurt. Like I remember I used to play 3-4-hour gigs around here. And you would be entering into that third hour, and you ain't got nothing left. Mm-mm. You feel like your fingers are about to fall off.
Oh, God.
Your voice is shot.
Yes. And ain't a person paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I had a good friend of mine that... all the folks in my band are a little bit older. They've been gigging for years, and they've all been playing together. And a few of them are actually from Mississippi. They're from more North Mississippi. But they played 3-hour, 4-hour gigs all the time, sometimes mm-hmm. 5-hour gigs. And it could be a duo, solo, trio, full band, whatever. And he told me, I was coming home from one gig complaining about it. And I finally had him come with me, because it's also more fun just to have somebody play with you. Sometimes you get lonely up there, you get bored,
really,
and you're having to pull the energy out of the crowd sometimes, and that's what depletes your energy. So, but he said, think of it as a paid practice. He's like, every time you're getting up on that stage and you're hooking all your stuff up, you're figuring out how to do that the most efficient way. You're doing crowd work. Your guitar playing's going to get better. Your singing's going to get better. Your songwriting, you can get material from people. You can, you know, try different things out. So I listened to Waylon Jennings' audiobook that he reads, which is so cool. If you ever get a chance, it's on Spotify for free.
Whoa.
I can't remember what it's called, but hearing him tell his own stories is crazy. But he was talking about they did, I want to say, either a casino or bar circuit when he first started, and he said he would just try the craziest things because nobody was paying attention, and that's how he figured out his sound and figured out what he wanted to do, because he was like, it doesn't really make a difference. These people are drunk and having a good time, which is great, but he's like, it's not like they're sitting there with notebooks taking notes on right. what I'm doing and critiquing me. So that's how he grew and found his groove, was just screwing around on stage when people were not paying attention.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, the advice, you said cousin or uncle?
My bandmate.
Oh, yeah. Bandmate. Mm-hmm. Now. Yeah, with every, treat all those gigs like practice.
Yes.
They are.
Yeah.
At first, I mean, you can take it so many different ways,
oh, yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just me and the bartender, or
right.
nobody cares, or like I'm just the backdrop here. But like you can take
yes.
big chances.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And when you get a head turn,
yeah, right? Well, that's the most. You're like, oh, okay,
something's working.
Yes, yeah, yeah. You said background. Last time or earlier this year, went through Dallas for the first time playing music, and a friend of ours that came by one of the shows, he calls them wallpaper gigs, which I think is a great way to describe it, because it's like decorating the room, but it's subtle. It's behind, you know, like I said, backdrop, which I thought was a funny little term. So wallpaper gigs.
So 4 years playing now, coming out of COVID, hitting the ground running. Would you start in Memphis?
Yes. Yeah. Born and raised there, started playing there the most. We would do a couple of things, like Jackson, Tennessee's only an hour out. So
was it difficult breaking into Memphis?
Well, I think if I hadn't gone to University of Memphis, I think it would have been a lot more difficult.
Okay.
I think some of the biggest advice I had gotten was like, if you're in college age, starting your music career in college is perfect, because you have, I mean, depending on how big of a campus you have a built-in audience of people that are your age and they're into the same thing. So like University of Memphis, I mean, the thousands of people, you know, 30,000 students, maybe go to the whole, you know, campus. So if you put flyers up and we have a common space where we all hang out, like, that's a great place to kind of get an audience. But because I specifically went for music, I also kind of got tied into the network of the younger musicians as well as the professors there. A lot of them have been in the Memphis music scene for years, so kind of got plugged into that. And that's really why I went to college, because I was like, I don't know if I want to go, but I got a foot in the door of the network in that way.
Let me tell you something. When I graduated high school, I was not going to college.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother begged me, and she's like, your best friends are over in Tuscaloosa at Sheldon State.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing else, just go for a semester.
Yeah.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And she's like, find a trade. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to study a subject.
No.
You could get a trade.
Yeah.
So I got a trade. And then I would, a couple years later, I would go on the university.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a real good run at Shelton State, even better run at the university, because I treated it just that way.
Yeah.
Is think of it as a network.
Exactly.
And whatever you're trying to do, you're all in the same place. Mm-hmm. And you're probably, like you said, into the same thing. So. Yep. I use it or lose it.
Right, exactly. And another good thing somebody told me too, they were like, you know, let's say we're all in a music business class. This person to your left is going to be a drummer. This person's going to be a manager. And this person's going to be a booking agent. When y'all are all in the business one day, you're going to know each other and be like, hey, do you remember when I gave you my homework in, you know, our science class? So, I mean, that's kind of frivolous, but still, I mean, you'll remember that and you make those connections. Like, we're the next generation of people that are going to be in the music scene. So you kind of interconnect with that, which is cool. But it was also neat because the theater building was close, the photography, the arts, and like all of that goes into music videos and all. Production and movie scoring. I mean, all of us are going to be in the same world. So it's very valuable. College was networking for me. And I got a scholarship, which was great. So I didn't have to pay to get that network, which is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me a little bit about your songwriting process and if you could use the song that you open with as the example.
So my songwriting process is very strange to me, at least. I haven't really kind of compared it to other folks, but I almost get like a little zap of information, and it just kind of like I'll have a whole song kind of come to me, and if I don't write it down right then it'll go away. So it's not really even concepts. It's like I'll just kind of get a melody, and I start with usually a melody and then the idea of the words come to me, and then I'll put the guitar to it last. Because I like to say I'm a singer that can accompany myself with a guitar. I'm not a guitarist. Like, I'm not a guitar. You know, I wouldn't go sit in on a session with somebody and play, because that's not my strong suit. But like that song, I had a similar situation. I'd been sitting and hanging out at the house, and I had a memory come back to me about. It's a very visual song. It, you know, the first line talks about. This ain't the first time these boots have twirled around the living room mm-hmm. with the weight of a girl. So I was thinking about when somebody, I had taught a friend of mine to dance, and it's like when the woman stands on the man's feet and you have that visual, and just kind of, it's very visual for me is the best way I can describe it. It comes to me, and like I said, I'll have to type it out, and it's horrible. I type everything in my notes app. I do not write them down, which if the grid just explodes and I never get my phone back, I will lose all my songs. But that's just how haphazard I am. Nothing is planned out. I need to get a notebook. But it's just kind of, it's inconvenient in the way that if I sit down and I'm like, I need to write two songs today or maybe in the week, it will never come to me. It doesn't feel as genuine. And I have so many friends that have the ability to pull all of this out here and write some fabulous songs. Like, let's say they had to get an EP out in the next 2 weeks, they'd have a fabulous EP out. But I think it just has to do with how everybody's brain works.
Sure.
I do
words first.
Yeah. And
it's typically a poem first.
That's how I actually started, because I couldn't play guitar, because I wrote songs mm-hmm. in high school, and I was almost just like prose, like poems. And then I would be like, okay, a friend of mine put music to my first one. So mm-hmm. I relate to you in that.
Yeah. So, and within the process, I was going to ask about influence. You strike me as somebody, since you're visual, is some of my favorite visual musicians would probably be like a City in Color,
mm-hmm.
maybe Damien Rice, yeah. Amos Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some of your influences?
Oh, gosh, it's so hard. I haven't listened to City in Color forever. I used
really?
To love them, yes. The Girl is one of my favorite songs.
Yeah,
that's a great song. It's funny, when you said visual, I was thinking, I can't remember the specific line about it, but that song comes to mind when I think about that. Kacey Musgraves, a couple of her first albums were, that was the first time I'd seen a woman in country music kind of singing about things that I had not heard other people singing about, like, besides, like, you know, Loretta Lynn had her songs that were great. But as far as a modern country music woman singing about topics that I was like, oh, okay, like, we're smoking weed in our songs. What's going on? You know, it was interesting to me. But I'd never seen that. But currently, yeah, Kacey Musgraves, Sierra Farrell is one. Really, really like her style.
I just like Taylor Honeycutt.
Taylor Honeycutt.
She's coming up on the scene. She's out of Alabama.
Yes, I was talking about her. She just played, I want to say, in Memphis.
She did.
Like this past, two days ago.
Of mine.
Really?
Yeah.
I've been meaning to go see her play. That's crazy. Small world.
Like, when I was hearing you play, I was like, man, they would be great together.
I'll have to meet her. That is so cool. She was just down the street the other day playing. Just like the people to me that are doing stuff that's different, interesting. I love all music, and I'll listen to, truly, I know people say that all the time, but I truly appreciate all different types of music and the different elements of it. But I think the things that catch my eye as, like, artistry goes is people just, like, putting it on the line, like, things that, like you said, go back to making a person's head turn, that you're not guaranteed a good response, you know, and then it works out. So, I love 90s, too. 90s grunge, like, I have Alanis Morissette and Sheryl Crow, Fiona Apple, all those folks.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about today with you. Is like, you're in Columbus now.
I am.
So are you kind of beginning to get your way out of Memphis, or just a little bit about your journey?
Yeah, I think that Memphis will probably always be home base for me, just because it's very central to a lot of places. Like, as far as touring, you can go several places within 3 or 4 hours. I mean,
geographical oddity.
The Emerald Triangle is Memphis and Nashville and Muscle Shoals, so they're all within, like, that was all the big studios and industry places. And it's very affordable to live there too, which is great. So I feel like Memphis will always probably be home base, at least. And I went all the way out west earlier this year. That was really cool. Got to hit New Mexico and Arizona for the first time. Come back through Texas, New Orleans. And this run is cool, too. We get to go back to Texas. Like I said, I'd never been here. We're going to Jonesboro and Fort Smith, Arkansas. And I've never been to Oklahoma either. We'll be going there. So it's kind of a Midwest-y run.
Yeah. I think you got a great sound for it. So.
I appreciate it. But and love these guys. They're great. Hearing them play last night was fabulous.
How'd y'all hook up?
So one big thing about having Memphis in your bio when people are touring through there when you're booking tours, you know, either it's yourself or the manager is going through Instagram trying to find other acts to open up or play on the bill with. And I always say yes when people come through because I love to make that connection with folks. And I mean, this came out of it, which was cool. So basically, their manager reached out and said, "Hey, would you like to hop on the show at the High Tone at Memphis with them?" I said, "Absolutely." And then he asked.
The High Tone. That's
the High Tone. Yeah.
Things of legend, right there.
Right. But he asked for some recommendations for some other places. And I was like, "Absolutely." And I sent some towns. And then he was like, "Well, we're going to Columbus the next day. It's only 3 hours. Would you like to come?" I was like, "Sure." And then he's like, "We're going to Jonesboro the next day. Would you like to come?" And then he ended up, he's like, "Do you want to go on the whole week?" And I was like, "Absolutely. I'd love to." You know, that's why I do music full time, so I can have my own schedule. Uh-huh. But they're great. We were joking last night about how I think they fall in between like the punk to bluegrass pipeline that seems to happen. Like you think Billy Strings and all those folks. And they were like, "We're kind of like in the middle of that." And I was like, "It's really cool though." And they're, again, they're doing something that not a lot of people are doing.
Yeah, they are.
That sounds phenomenal. They're great. And playing house shows like this is awesome. And yeah, we're super excited.
It's such a great listening room.
Yeah.
You're going to dig tonight.
I'm excited for it.
They'll hang on every word. You can hear a pin drop. And if you have any merch, they are huge on supporting.
Awesome.
So it's a great crowd.
Perfect.
Tell me a little bit about, we plugged Oklahoma, Texas, and here
mm-hmm.
in Jonesboro tomorrow, but what about before this? Is there any other big travels that you've done, like first outings?
I think it was early to middle March is when I went on my first tour, and that was 22 shows in 26 days. Which was crazy. And actually how I met the wonderful girl who I went on tour with, her name's Sierra Bryan. She's originally from Texas but lives in Flagstaff, Arizona now. She's actually about to move to Nashville, so she'll be closer to me. One of her friends from Arizona came through at the High Tone, and my band played our first show with him. So the first show we had ever played in Memphis, or as a band, was with Red McAdam. He's a great musician. And then he came back again on tour, and we played a show together. And he had Sierra with him on tour. So we linked together, and I opened up for them. And she was like, "I really like your stuff. This is really cool." She's like, "Why aren't you on tour?" And I'm like, "I thought you had to have, like, a label and all this stuff to go on tour. I didn't think you could DIY a tour." And she was like, "Girl, you could absolutely do this." So she, and I thought she was messing with me. She was like, "We're going to go on tour next year in the spring." And I was like, "Okay, let's do it. Shake on it, you know, pinky swear, whatever." And she emails me without fail about 6 months later and says, "Hey, I've got a route booked. Would you like to come with me? You're still down." And I was like, "Of course." So we did it all DIY. She had done it before. She gets all the places, got places to stay, got some guarantees, which were great. I was getting to go out west for the first time. And then I booked some of the places further, you know, out towards Memphis. And I drove out there and stopped in Dallas halfway and then drove all the way to Flagstaff. And we picked up there and played all over Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, New Orleans. We went to Outer Banks all the way to the East Coast. So we went 8,000 miles in those 22 days in my 2010 Toyota 4Runner. And she made it without fail. But that was one of the coolest experiences of my life, especially as a musician. I mean, we met folks from all over, and getting to hear other people play and mm-hmm. see what's going on in their regions and then, you know, make those connections. And it was a very formative experience as a musician and as a person, you know.
Yeah, that's so cool. Like those first outings when you're finally getting out of your hometown or the area that you're playing in.
Mm-hmm.
And like if you hadn't been able to travel a whole lot,
yeah,
and you're getting to see some
right things. And I hadn't. That's, you know, I think that's part of the small town thing, and you know, you get in kind of a loop. You go through high school and college, and you know, my parents both own their own businesses, so we could travel a little bit, but we got to be home a lot, you know. So mm-hmm. I've never been out of the country, so that international thing would be cool at some point. And then Memphis also has a lot of there's a nonprofit called Music Export Memphis that gives scholarships for tours and merch and everything like that. So they actually gave me a scholarship after I applied to go on tour, like a travel stipend.
Very cool.
Which is awesome. So we have the resources for it. Now that I'm aware of it, I tell people, I'm like, I got the bug. I'm just going to be on the road all the time. You know, here I am again. I hopped on this. So, you know.
Very good.
That's cool. All
right, I want to be respectful of your time.
Let's get
three more questions and we'll walk out the door.
Sounds good to me.
You just mentioned it, but give me some milestones, things that you would like to accomplish. Maybe it's a venue or maybe it is the international travel. What are some things that you're looking for in the near future? Let's say give yourself a year. What do you want to accomplish?
Ooh, a year. Okay. All right, I'm going to speed through this because, let's see, an album. I want to record an album. I would like to get some video content out for that album, like some music videos, stuff like that. I want to do a full band tour. I've only done solo tours. I'd like to take my band on the road. And
give me a place. Where would you like to play in the U.S.?
Ooh, that's hard. I want to take my band to New Orleans.
Okay.
I think so. I don't think I want to play in New Orleans.
Very cool. Question two is... First time in Mississippi and Columbus. What do you make of it?
I really like it. I do. I do. It's it looks different than other places in Mississippi I've been. Like, which all the history you just gave me now makes sense. Like this house, how old is this house? 180 years old? That's crazy.
And this upstairs, fairly new. I think this is, it used to be a single story house.
Whoa.
Jamie turned it into a two story.
That's insane.
Jamie has... put a lot of love on this
home. I can tell. It's a gorgeous home, very homey. But yeah, I really like Columbus. Hopefully tomorrow I'll have some time to kind of strut around the city and see what's going on. I like this little, is this like the town square that we're kind of off of right over here?
It is.
Yeah, I love that.
If y'all like pizza, I don't know how quick y'all are going to be hitting the road for Jonesboro, but go check out the place I work at Munson and Brothers.
Okay.
We do good pizzas. Craft beers.
Do you have a gluten-free pizza?
We got cauliflower.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll be all up in that.
Yeah.
We'll
be open, I think, at 11. So okay. If y'all are still around.
I should be. Yeah.
And tell them to write your name down, because you ought to come back down and play. We do live music every Friday.
Oh, nice.
So if you'd like to come back.
Oh, absolutely. Got good pizza and live music. Two birds, one stone.
There
Sounds
you go.
Sounds good to me.
And so last question to walk out of the door. Plugs, man. Where can we follow the journey? Is there music online?
There is. Websites? So, yes. So Instagram is Alexis Jade and the Gemstones. Facebook, same as that. And then we've got Spotify. It's just Alexis Jade at the moment, but it's got the EP on it that the band played on some of that. Got Alexis Jade Music is the website, which has got links to Linktree with calendars and upcoming shows, tickets. Speaking of Mississippi, we will actually be back in Mississippi in about near Clarksdale, Stovall, Mississippi.
Very cool.
Yeah, Mighty Roots Festival is a super cool festival. We played it last year. We're going to play it again on the big stage Friday, September 13th, I believe. Tickets to that are in my bio. And yeah, just streaming platforms, the YouTube. We got a couple of live videos on there. And I think that's about it.
Alexis, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.